Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Open for golf. That doesn't mean every golf course in the country is open. In fact, the University of Georgia golf course is not open, but all 50 states have golf open for business. It has been the one sport that, because of social distancing and the coronavirus and all that stuff, has still been able to play. I know a lot of restrictions have been put on it, but golf is great that it's been out there. I know for the PGA Tour though, the guys are ready to get going, and it's been, let's see, the Thursday of the Players' Championships. That was on March 12th. That was the last round that was played. We bring in our good friend of the show, Brendan Todd, who is, I know, chomping at the bit to get back out there. So how hey, Brendan, good morning. Good talking to you. Hope you're doing well.
Doing good. Thanks for having me on, Dave.
No, always love having you on. So take us back to that Thursday at the Players and how kind of weird that was.
Yeah, so I teed off in the afternoon about 1 o'clock that day, and Jay Monahan, the PGA Tour commissioner, had his briefing at noon that day. So I was in, maybe it was 11:30, because I was in there eating lunch, and I watched his whole briefing, and you know, he stood really firm about how golf's played outside, and even though the NBA was having some problems, he thought that we'd be able to keep playing that week. So I went out there hopeful that, you know, we were going to play golf and at least finish the tournament at the Players. But it was like, as we played, as you talked it out more, the more you realized, like, well, if other sports are canceling and coronavirus is this serious and we've got 70-year-old men as our walking scorers and we're 5 feet from them at times, it just doesn't make a lot of sense for us to keep playing. And sure enough, you know, we got the text that night at about 9 p.m. saying the tournament was canceled, which was, not a fun text to receive, especially because I shot 369 in the afternoon wave. I had a morning round coming up. I was feeling really good about my game. So, and that's the biggest purse of the year. It's $15 million this year, 2.5 maybe to the winner. So it was definitely one tournament we wanted to get in. The PGA Tour's crown. So it was a bummer to get canceled and, you know, be missing this time. You know, there's been so many good tournaments that we've missed, like the Dell Match Play and the Masters and the Heritage over in Hilton Head. And this week is the Byron Nelson, which is where I had my first PGA Tour victory. So, you know, I wish we were playing golf right now, but obviously there's a lot of people suffering around the world. And, you know, we've all got to do our part. And I think, you know, as reluctant as Americans are, you know, quarantining and social distancing has been something that we've all, at least around here, I feel like in Athens, Oconee County, have embraced and have tried to do a good job of. And we'll just see if we can flatten it out and get back playing here in a month or two.
Was there, I think it was Rory that was kind of, I remember back then at the Players that he was the one that kind of spoke up first, but was there kind of a growing sense, like you were saying, was there like, were you guys just talking and saying, hey, we need to get the word to the commissioner or to somebody that maybe we need to think this through a little bit more and see what we're going to do. And then I was also going to ask you, why hasn't the Players' Championship been part of the group of tournaments that's being made up? Or is that is there a reason for that?
I haven't heard the answer to why the Players' Championship is not being made up. I was certainly hopeful it would be one of the ones that was made up, but it could be because we started it. You know, they paid out half of the purse.
Yeah.
You know, the 144 players, I believe, that are in that tournament all received $52,000 for playing one round of golf. So it was a pretty pretty nice day's work. And I guess that's part of it.
Yeah.
I don't know if that's an insurance. I don't know if they have insurance on the tournament and that's how they paid it out, or if they just told their sponsors, look, you know, you got all the promotion, you got 4 days of the week. You missed the last three, you know, you're still paying half, or maybe they're committed to all of it. So, you know, there's agreements that are already in place, I'm sure, that have little bylaws for things like this, and I'm not sure what they are. And then, you know, that day, maybe Rory's group was talking about how they need to speak up, but I think it came more down to Jay and President Trump and the governor of Florida and people probably just having some conversations and saying it's in the best interest of everybody involved if you guys cancel. So I don't think it was any player speaking up. I think that was Jay's decision.
Talking with Brendan Todd as the PGA Tour will resume next month.
Todd, as you mentioned a second ago, you know exactly, it sounds like, what tournament would be this weekend and that. At the last couple of months, have you kind of beat yourself up a little bit just kind of in quarantine knowing where you would have been at this time? Or is that something you've been able to kind of block out and just kind of focus on being the best you can be when the tour gets back around?
The first 6 weeks, it wasn't very hard to block it out. Felt like it was a great opportunity to spend time with my family and hang out with my kids, mm-hmm. and that's what I've been doing. And, you know, I think I have a pretty good view of the grander picture here, which is that, you know, this is a crisis and there's a lot of people struggling. So it would be selfish of me, somebody who's already earned a nice living, to be like, oh, man, I deserve to be out there playing when, you know, it could potentially, you know, add to the problem. So I haven't really, you know, had any resentment about not playing. I'm just starting to get that bug, you know, that.
Right.
I want to be out there competing. I want to be out there playing because that's what I do, and that's the process I love, and that's what makes me happy and, you know, gives me drive in life. You know, I wasn't.
Right.
I love my kids. I love my wife, but I wasn't. I didn't grow up saying I want to be a stay-at-home dad. So
I'm sorry. Yeah, when the tour does crank back up, I'll just use us as an example. Dave and I. It's probably really intimidating for he and I to think about playing golf with a gallery lining the fairways and the tee box, but for PGA guys like you, it might be a little bit different, maybe even more intimidating without that gallery there. It's going to feel very weird when it first gets going. What are your thoughts on that, and will that make a big impact on people's games?
I think it might only impact some of the guys who might get some ricochets from the crowds, the grandstands, and you know, even though we've seen Tiger sprayed around and win tournaments, most guys that are hitting it into the crowd probably aren't playing their best, so it shouldn't affect too much of the outcomes. I think that for somebody like me who teed it up in 10 Monday qualifiers last spring, it's not going to be a big deal because I'm pretty used to playing without crowds. And for maybe the Tiger Woods, you know, he's probably the only guy who really is used to having a crowd no matter what he's shooting. The only time I played with him in competition was in LA this year on Sunday, and we're in last place, and we still had fans lining every hole. So he's probably the only guy who demands a crowd every single time he tees it up.
So that's the only time you played with him in competition was earlier this year.
That's correct.
Interesting. And like you said, you guys were y'all the first ones off that morning?
No, it was a double tee, so we were teeing off 10 at the end.
I gotcha. So it was still, that must have been a kind of a weird experience, though.
It wasn't weird. It was good. It was a positive experience because, you know, when you're playing with him, your focus goes up. You want to play well. And so it turned around that sometimes might not have a lot of meaning because we started the round in maybe 70th place or 68th place. And it gave it some meaning. You know, I wanted to go out there and play well. We had as many fans as almost anyone on the golf course. So, you know, it gave that round a little more importance. Unfortunately, he didn't play very well. So, you know, that didn't provide any more pressure or drama.
Interesting. That is interesting. Well, tell us a little bit, Brendan, about when you guys do get back out there, what you guys are being told you'll have to go through to be, I guess, tested and be allowed to get out on the golf course when you guys, I guess it'll be the Colonial will be the first one up, but what are you going to have to go through to, you know, actually get back out on the course?
So what I've been told the procedure is so far is some sort of do-it-yourself test at home to check, to ensure you don't have coronavirus, and therefore if you do, you can self-quarantine at home. Versus being in a foreign city. And then, we travel to the tournament, and there should be some host hotel set up for us, I believe. and they will have a ballroom that they're doing more testing in. So right when you arrive, before you even go to the golf course, every player, every caddy, every PGA Tour official will go to this hotel ballroom and get tested for coronavirus. And as long as the test comes back negative, and, you know, assuming we have enough tests available, and they're the 15-minute result tests, you know, we'll have results right there on site. And if, as long as you don't have it, you go proceed as usual, go to the golf course, play your practice rounds, get ready for the tournament. And I believe they said they'll do one more, like, temperature check midweek just to make sure that, you know, you haven't developed any symptoms of coronavirus since you've been in that town. And then otherwise, you know, the golf portion should be pretty similar, but I'm sure we'll have some social distancing encouragement. But I do believe we'll still interact with our caddies. I do believe caddies will still either use rakes, or there will be somebody that will rake bunkers for us. And I do believe we'll still take pins in and out. Maybe caddies will be designated to do that. Maybe they'll have to wear gloves. I have not heard that yet. Some of those details, I think, are still being ironed out. So we'll see. I mean, it's still a month out. Dallas, Texas still has a 14-day quarantine for anybody traveling into Dallas from Atlanta, Miami, New York, Chicago, L.A. So obviously things there are going to have to improve, and the governor will have to, you know, bring that restriction down before we can even think about traveling in there and playing a golf tournament.
I know different tour events have different vibes, but just for a regular tour event, do most of the golfers stay in hotels? Do they stay, in different places? I mean, will that be different to see a lot of the guys at the same hotel? Or how is that usually in a regular tour event? Where do you guys usually stay during the week?
So usually when we're out of the country, like at the World Golf Event in Mexico, or if we're in China or Asia, then usually everybody stays at the host hotel because it's safe. It's usually a nice place, great, and people aren't quite as familiar with the area. But when we're traveling more domestically here in the U.S., you know, a lot of players will rent houses or condos. There's 7 to 10 guys that have RVs. So, and then, you know, just based on hotel pricing, most of the hotel, like the tour, will give us 5 hotel options at, you know, with rates between $200 and $500, let's say.
Mm-hmm.
And you can kind of pick among those which one you want to stay at. And then there's other guys who are like, yeah, I'd rather just go stay at the Hampton Inn for $120 a night.
Yeah.
And there's some other guys who are like, oh, I want to go stay at this boutique hotel for $350 a night. It's just kind of cool. It's in a good location. So most weeks people are staying all over the place. I would say, you know, 10 different hotels and obviously houses and RVs.
Gotcha. Gotcha. Now, are families going to be going when you guys go back out initially, or you think most of the guys will just be going by themselves?
Most guys will travel by themselves. I think my family was planning on coming to Hilton Head still, but there will be no families allowed at golf courses or clubhouses. There will be no child care. So it really will just be the players, caddies, and tour officials out there. You know, it'll be a lot different than normal. May or may not use locker rooms.
Yeah, I saw you said something about, hey, you've changed your shoes in the parking lot many times, so that's not a big deal.
Right.
I thought that was a great statement there too. So, because you said it's not.
I think most guys have, really. I mean, it's not,
yeah, I've only changed in a parking lot.
Yeah.
So,
but yeah, that I thought that was kind of interesting. Just that, hey, the locker room is nice, but you know that's not a deal breaker or anything like that.
Not a big deal at all.
Brendan Todd joining us as the tour will resume next month.
Brendan, have you given any thought? I'm sure you have. The obvious answer is yes, but a lot of us are curious what Augusta National will look like for a November Masters tournament. What goes through your mind when you think about that?
I think of, still a beautiful, green, immaculate golf course, because I'm sure they'll won't have it any other way. But I can see more cooler weather, breezy days in our future there. I don't think the weather in November is quite as reliable as in mm-hmm. April. So I know we could have good weather. It could be 65 or 70 and sunny every day. But if you looked at last year's forecast, it was 69, 70 maybe for the first couple of days. And then by the weekend, it was down to 56 with lows in the 30s. So if that's a repeat, then it'll be a pretty difficult week on a really tough golf course.
We may have the quarter zips out for that weekend, huh?
Absolutely. I mean, if it's 36 in the morning, we'll be having hot hands, right, gloves, and toboggans.
And I would assume, though, no complaints because it's the Masters.
No, absolutely. I actually think I embrace it. I think seeing that golf course play difficult, you know, and with some different winds could bring, you know, maybe a first-timer or somebody who hasn't played there 20 times into the fold. I think that's one of the few tournaments every year where there really are about 30 guys in the field that just have such an advantage because they've played the last 5 to 20 Masters, and everybody else hasn't. And that's just one of those things that I think around a golf course like that that has so much undulation and so many trees and different winds is you know, just really useful.
Well, I mean, how many times have you played the course between being a pro and, you know, when you were playing at Georgia?
I'd say I've played it 20 times,
yeah,
max, 15 to 20 times total in my life.
Which is awesome.
It's awesome every time. It does not get old.
I know. I was going to ask you, too, about, you know, playing then, and you say you embrace the harsh weather because it makes me think of when you won here in Athens. At the stadium, you were pretty. Right. You guys were pretty sure there wasn't going to be a Sunday round, and you trudged through on Saturday in some really horrible conditions and won that tournament. So I think guys like you that embrace the bad stuff have the better chance if that's what comes down to it in November in Augusta.
Yeah, I generally like my chances when it's windy. Now, if it's really cold and the ball's not traveling, you know, or if it's really wet, then I think it plays into the longer hitter's hands. But if you just kind of have nice, dry, cool, windy conditions, then I think that it really brings anybody into play. A lot like the year that Zach Johnson won.
Yeah.
You know, he said it was cold and windy that week, and that's why he laid up in every par five and just happened to hit amazing wedges that week. So I think those are the kinds of conditions I'm looking for out there.
Yeah, and I think he was over par. I think he was like one over when he won that year, I think. Which is crazy.
I don't know for sure. That could be. But he birdied 12 par fives, so that'd be a lot of bogeys.
maybe I'm wrong. I looked that one up, but that was one that stuck with me there. But anyway, thanks for taking time, Brendan. We appreciate it. Didn't even get to ask you about the Steelers, you know, the schedule for next year. I don't know if you paid any attention to that or not.
I haven't. I haven't really looked at it yet. Obviously, I'm a Steelers fan from my young days in Pittsburgh. But, you know, I've really just kind of dodged the ESPN app and, you know, most of sports on TV in general right now.
Well, good news. You're going to open up Monday night against the Giants. How's that sound?
There you go.
Sounds amazing.
Yeah, that's serious. That's a fact.
Yeah, just to think that we can talk about football is good, too. Man. So anyway, Brendan, we really appreciate you. Thank you so much, and good luck when the tour gets going, and can't wait to keep following you, and thanks so much again.
Thanks, guys. Have a good day.
All right, you too.
Thanks, Brendan.
Brendan Todd. He's ready to play some golf.
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.